This is the Hear Hear podcast. Today we are joined by Jen Schwartz, owner and operator of Briars and Brambles Bookstore in Windham, New York, also founding member of the Main Street Community Center. Jen, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yes, this is one we've been working on for a while, so glad that we finally made it happen. Congratulations, anniversary of the bookstore.
7 years.
And there's people that said it wouldn't make it.
Exactly. Exactly.
We read around here.
Yes, you guys do.
Yeah.
Indeed.
How's it feel?
Feels amazing.
Good. Good.
That's terrific.
What started the bookstore idea? Where did your love of books come from?
My love of books?
Yeah.
God, that came from my grandmother, I think. Yeah.
Yep. Enough to spearhead a bookstore in a small town in upstate New York. What was it that brought that idea to life?
You know, I kind of joke that was sort of a selfish idea that prompted that. I was up here with my kids. I grew up coming to Windham skiing when I was little. So it's always kind of been part of my life. But then I was up here skiing with my kids probably about 12 years ago. And I finished reading a book. And I wanted another book to read, and I realized that there was a snowstorm coming, and I thought, well, I'll just go to the bookstore. And then I realized, right, there's no bookstore in town.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, yeah, okay, I think I need to open a bookstore. And it kind of just coalesced from there. It took me 20 minutes to go from, I wish I had a book to read, to, I think I'm going to open a bookstore. Came up with the idea on December 23rd, 2017, and opened July 1st, 2018.
Wow. So, in the same location?
Yeah.
So you started in the same spot, have stayed in the same spot?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. What an opportunity. How have you found the local response to be to opening a bookstore?
It's incredible. I don't know how to describe it. It is like throwing a party every day. We're open 7 days a week. When I was writing the business plan, and I have to say, anybody who thinks that they want to open a bookstore, write a business plan. I don't know if that's the case. You own your own business. I don't know if that's the case for anybody who wants to open a business. I will say, if anybody wants to open a bookstore, write a business plan. But when I was writing the business plan, part of it was very much I wanted to be the local bookstore. Mm. And I knew that I wanted to be open 7 days a week. And so when I was writing the business plan, that was very much it. So 7 days a week, want to be the local bookstore. And, you know, there are definitely slow days. There are definitely $0 days. Mm. But there's somebody comes into the store every single day. And I pinch myself every day because it's often on the slowest days that we have the best conversations because the people are the ones. I may carry great books, but it's the people who come into the store that tell the best stories.
Mm.
And the locals have the best stories.
Oh,
it's why I have a confidentiality rule. It's the one rule I have with my team is that. And seriously, and being in a small town, we take confidentiality really seriously.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you never know what subject is going to come up.
No.
Hey, could you buy me a book on proceeds to state a topic?
Correct. Yeah.
The one thing that I really like about how you set up was you have a lot of customer reviews on books that are spread out throughout. Whose idea was that?
You know, it was my idea, but most independent bookstores have customer reviews or staff reviews.
Mm.
That's pretty much, it's not an algorithm.
Yeah.
That's why you're going into an independent bookstore, is it's not algorithm based. It's customer review based or staff based, or that's why you're coming in.
Yeah. I've bought several books off of walking around and for anyone who doesn't know exactly what that looks like, beneath a book will be a small tag that's just tucked underneath with small handwritten note from someone who bought and read the book from Briars and Brambles, and then came back and wrote what they thought about it, and leave it for the rest of us to check out while we're walking around looking for books. I love it. I've done a couple of them.
I was going to say,
I've done a couple of them.
You've done a couple of them.
The only hard part is not having great handwriting. And, you know.
Sometimes we copy other people's, you know, we'll take them off and we'll recopy them. Ashley has really good handwriting, my bookseller. Mm. So she'll take it and she'll recopy it. And so it's legible. Yeah.
Noted. I won't feel so bad next time.
Yeah.
I'll just write it out. Write out what I want to say and I'll hand it over to Ashley.
Correct.
Yeah. One good one that we talk about is banned books, but also some literature that may be looked at skeptically by, depending on who you're speaking with. I know you and I have personally had that conversation a couple of times. And talk to us about, you know, You like to let people read what they want to read.
Correct.
Yeah.
But tell me more about that.
Well, I've ordered certain titles that, you know, people kind of had some pushback on, but were historical context books. And
oh. Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that's exactly right. Anybody who comes into the bookstore, I have final say. Mm-hmm. In terms of what ultimately I'm going to carry, correct? So what I have on the shelves, sure. And what I choose to sell, yes, absolutely, I get to choose. But when a customer comes into the store and they want to order a book, if a book is available and I can get it, that is, I'm going to order that book for the person. It's not for me to edit what a person reads.
Yes. And you do carry some banned books.
I'd say 90% of the books that I have on hand, in one way or another, would likely be banned somewhere.
Yeah.
It's yeah.
Yeah, right. Right. Anything that's thought provoking or, you know, a certain historical context.
But I want to say for that, I am super aware of the role, and I'm increasingly more aware of that. The role of a bookstore in a town is to be part of a community, right? We're not selling sweaters.
Yeah.
What we are providing is an opportunity for conversation. It's super important to me that when somebody walks into the store, I don't care who they are, I want them to be able to find anything on the shelves that they are going to be able to say, I feel at home here. I can recognize about that. So, for example, I love the fact that Wyndham is home to the Adaptive Sports Foundation, right? So whether or not you're aware of it or not, I carry, by choice, a lot of titles that speak to a population that, you know, have any sort of physical disability or any kind of maybe emotional or physical disability, right? That's important to me. And that's just one of a number of topics that people, I want somebody to come in and go like, yep, I can identify. Somebody else comes in and they might say, I can't relate to that. Okay, you don't have to, but you might relate to something else. That's what come in. I also feel strongly that people's time is the most important thing you have. So come into the store. I want you to be able to feel like you can decompress. That's the biggest compliment you can pay, is to come into the store and just relax when you're coming in and look around. So I want to be very, very, very well balanced when you come into the store. I don't want to get into political conversations.
Of course.
But I do want to be well balanced in terms of what is available to people.
Yeah. Yeah. And within that, I mean, I think one of the most powerful things reading offers is a challenge to our worldview. So almost by carrying both, you're doing everybody a favor, or carrying all different perspectives and all different examples of people's life experience. You're giving people the opportunity to step out of their worldview or their comfort zone by having different titles there, and, you know, different topics that would bring in a diverse audience.
Correct.
Yeah.
If you want to, and if you don't, that's fine. I don't mean to challenge anybody. Like, that's not my, I'm not doing anything to purposely pique somebody's, you know, to start a conversation, unless you want to start the conversation.
Right.
But if you don't put the opportunity out there to start the conversation, well, then you're missing an opportunity.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Also, you're working on bringing in some local books, some local authors. You
always
carry a lot of Catskill Mountain,
always
Hudson Valley. There's a lot of nature books, which I've been noticing more and more of every time I go in. There's a lot of hiking guides, and which I think a lot of people coming up to the area not knowing you know, exactly what they're looking for, or being new to the area, gives them an opportunity to explore as well.
So it's funny. I think it's that whole "if you build it, they will come" kind of attitude, and I've had that. I think I have about 7,000 books in the store, or 7,000 titles in the store. When you walk in, if anybody hasn't been in the front is kind of the regional. You've got the bestsellers and history, et cetera, but also front and center are the regionals and the local authors. And it was always very important to me to feature local authors, but also the hiking and the nature. I think Catskills is an amazing area. And sometimes that gets lost up here, that we take for granted just how beautiful it is up here. Increasingly, as the Catskills and Windham in particular, as it becomes more and more sort of discovered, people come in and I know you roll your eyes, right? But people are like, "This is so beautiful. I've never been here." I had one customer who came in, they'd never been here before. They came in for a bachelorette party. She went home. She told her husband about it. I think she was here for a bachelorette party in April when ostensibly there was like nothing going on. She fell in love with it. She told her husband about it. They came back 2 weeks ago because her husband surprised her with a vacation because she was raving about it so much. He was like, "I've got to see what this place Windham is about." They came back and he was like, "We're in love with this place. This is amazing." So increasingly people are like, want to learn more about what's the local history, the nature up here. Yeah.
Yeah. So really giving them, you know, a guide on that.
Yeah.
Is like such a priority. Such a priority. You actually worked with Dave also on the town map.
Oh, yeah.
Correct? Yeah. Yeah.
He gets credit for that. You know, he did.
There were many hands in it. Yeah. There was encouragement.
There was encouragement.
It's true. But Dave did a lot of the legwork on that. But we've talked about that in a past episode. But we have a hard copy of it hung on the wall in here. And just to go back over that, Jen and Dave sat down and worked out a plan to have almost a directory of the town. Right. And all the buildings, all the businesses in one area, that was something that could easily be given out to people visiting the area for information. And it came out really nice, really, really beautiful.
Thank you.
Really beautiful piece.
Thank you. It was fun.
Some of the other projects that you worked on, this one I don't really know anything about. I don't know if we've ever talked about that, but the storyboards on the Windham Path. Run us through that. Whose idea was that?
The storybook?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. That's a collaboration I do with the Windham Arts Alliance. Paul and
awesome.
Sheila Troutman.
Yep.
They are amazing.
Yep.
They are just fantastic. So I guess, I mean, again, storybook walks are things that are done throughout the country. I guess. And they're often this just this, it's a way to promote free family like reading and to encourage reading with families to do. And so you choose a children's storybook and you put it along just a, you know, like a walking path. And as you're walking, you're by default reading the story. And that's what happens. So I kind of pitched the idea to Paul and Sheila Troutman, who are educators. They loved it. They are in there. I'm not going to announce their ages. Let's just say they both, they celebrated their 60th wedding anniversary just recently.
Oh, congratulations. Which is terrific. Yeah.
And they and their friends volunteer to install all of the pages. We laminate it, but they go out, they install it, they maintain it. The town is very supportive of us. So thanks to Wyndham Town for doing it. But they, so I work with Paul and Sheila every season. We choose a story that we think is going to be appropriate and fun. And then we laminate it and we put it out on the storybook walk. It begins on the Route 23 side of the path and then it just runs. And so people, families, anybody goes out and as you're walking, you by default
read
the storybook. And then I carry the book in the store. And then every book that is sold while the story is up during the season, I donate a portion of it back to the Wyndham Arts Alliance.
Oh, wonderful.
Which is great.
Yeah.
So this month happens to be, it's called My Path. It's actually great. It's our most popular yet. It's about a little snail who is discovering his own or her own. I don't know. It's a snail.
Mm-hmm.
The path that they want to take. It's actually very cute with all the rain we've had.
Yeah.
You actually see tons of little snails.
Little snails on their path.
On the path. On their path. Going, which is a lot of fun. So it's great.
So the moral of the story is sometimes it takes you a little while to get to where you need to go, but
everybody just takes their own path.
Take your own path.
That's exactly
so
correct.
So if anybody needs a good read as a reminder of, you know, what it takes to take your own path, just go to the Wyndham Path and walk around and have a read.
Yes.
What a beautiful encouragement, though. I mean, just, you know, the path is a very well-used local amenity. That a lot of families use, especially on the weekends, it gets very busy, and just another like a very cool addition to that.
We had one. We did one. I think it was last fall, maybe the one before that. Well, last fall we did one that was Hudson Talbot again, celebrating like you know local artist from the Hudson River School. It was fantastic. It was great. But then we did one that was called A Great Fall. Forget exactly the title of it, but then I went out for a walk once after the store and there was a woman in her 40s and I think she was just having like a full-blown like a midlife crisis kind of thing, because existential crisis, that's the word I was looking for. But she was like, do you see what's happening? Like the leaf doesn't want to fall because she's afraid of change and this. And I was like, yeah, but sometimes you have to change. And she was like, I know, but it's so tough. And I was like, but she falls and she accepts the change. She was like, yes, I think I need to do that. And I was like, but it's okay. She accepts it. It happens. She was like, so I just need to go with it. I was like, yes.
Yeah, and finish the walk around the path and you'll find the
conclusion. It's okay. But so like, you know, it was great. So it's not just for children. It was great.
Good metaphor.
Listen, sometimes children's books just speak to all of us.
Hit home the hardest.
Yes, they do.
Do the illustrations come out of the books, or does Wyndham Arts Alliance do the illustrations?
Oh no, we take the book,
yeah,
and then either Ashley or Laura takes them. We take them apart, we laminate them, and we set them all up. So you literally,
it's pages
you're
from
reading, it's pages
all
from
the pages
the, yeah.
from the book.
Yeah.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah, you're literally reading the book.
That's awesome.
On the path.
Apparently good for everybody.
It is great.
Everybody could use a little walk and read.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was the other one you guys had going for a little while? Prosecco and Prose.
Oh, that was a book club that we do. So we do book clubs out of the store. Prosecco and Prose was one.
Was that one that you organized?
So I organized that during COVID, actually. Mm. That was actually Zoom. And then I couldn't do it because I am actually a terrible book club moderator.
Did you not read the book?
Jesse. Help me out of confidentiality rule. Anyway, you know that. But then I couldn't really keep up with it. But then Women in Town resurrected it. They did it for a really long time. It's still going. But then I am no. But then Stephen, who works for me, runs two book clubs out of the store. He does books and bios, and he does great classics. And you can find all of that information on our website.
Awesome. What's the website?
BriarsandBramblesBooks.com.
BriarsandBramblesBooks.com. Mm-hmm. I've been in there a couple times when other book clubs are coming in and ordering from you guys.
Yeah.
And this is one that I harp on a little bit with people is buying locally and supporting local business. And we know that you can be in bed at 11:30 at night, you know, oh yeah, I wanted that book. I can order it on Amazon or whatever. Yeah. Meh, meh.
Did you hear that interference?
Yeah. Let's support local business, you know, buying books locally and also, you know, supporting the book clubs is great as well. Starting them and then letting them take their own path is, you know, you know, that guarantees it. That's good.
I'm going to say we can actually kind of compete with Amazon, to be honest with you. Like, you've seen, you know, we order the books, come in. Yep. We have a fast delivery time.
Oh, absolutely. There's some weeks where there's a stack of books sitting there waiting.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, I'll get to each one in time.
Yeah. Yeah. No, we really do pride ourselves.
And for the record, it is okay to buy books, have them on the bookshelf, and someday I will read them. That's a very okay way to live.
That's called the TBR pile.
Yeah, to be read. Yeah, yes. You need it. You need it. Because you never know. You're like, it'll come back around and it'll strike you and you'll pull it off the shelf and it's there. You have
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The to be read list is real. So for all those people who say, oh, I end up buying books and I don't read them, it's like, that's fine. Have them there. They're ready to be read at any point in time.
Absolutely.
You know, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that.
I look at it as like having a pile of sweaters. Eventually you're going to need that sweater or that jacket on any given day. And you'll be like, that's a t-shirt.
Yeah. That's the one.
You need that t-shirt today. I'm in the mood for that t-shirt.
Yeah. That's today's color. That's today's shirt. That's today's book.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. So, a little anecdote. I did a trip out west, was snowboarding in Salt Lake City. I was at Solitude, and I had a couple of days where I didn't have any friends there when I was there. And I would put a book in my snow. I had a pouch on my bibs, on my snow pants, and I would put a book in it. And middle of the day, I would go in the lodge and have a sit and a read. Right. And yes, there was beer involved. I love having beer with my reads. I'll drop the title of the book. It was The Interesting Narrative, the autobiography of a former slave, Eluda Equiano, which I think was the name that he was given in his once he was sold. And the amount of conversations that were struck up just by sitting in a public place, unpretentiously reading a book. Just a book.
1,000%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then got into a full discussion of what the book was about, how I felt it was appropriate to today, the lessons out of it were applicable and everything. It was awesome.
Well, you did that at the coffee shop. You were telling me the same thing that happened to you at the coffee shop when you took your book down to the coffee shop too.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I know.
That's my time to read. It's a breakfast
in public.
Breakfast and lunch. No, breakfast and lunch when I'm on a work day.
Yeah.
Because then I can actually shut down for a few minutes and not think about work and have a read.
But people come up to you and start talking to you.
Yeah.
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 It's a good conversation starter. I will say, as somebody who's introverted, same thing. If I'm out in public and I have my book, somebody's going to come up and start talking to me.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'm like, but I want to read.
Yeah. Right. It's a double-edged sword. It is. Because you're like, but yes, this is a great...
happy to have that conversation.
Well, for you, it's, of course, it's a plug. It's great. Right? Yeah. You get the opportunity. Yeah. And by the way, if you really like this book and the way that it sounds, I can order you one. I own
a bookstore. Yeah.
No, I don't do it just for, you know, I don't uh-huh. do it to get girls uh-huh. or anything like uh-huh. that. That's not why I do it. Or to prove to people that I can read, you know, for anybody that questions it. Do you have any other projects in the works right now? Anything for anything other than the path and the book clubs?
We're doing a lot of events. Sorry. Yes.
Yeah.
We're actually doing an event with the Knitting Room coming up on August 25th.
Awesome. At the Knitting Room?
Oh, yeah. We're doing it at their new Tannersville store.
Oh, that's wonderful.
That's a goal of mine for year 7 is to do more book signings and more events.
Cool.
Which is great. Yeah.
Cool. So what is the what's the overlap between the Knitting Room and the bookstore?
So they actually came to me. They're doing an author event with a local author.
Okay.
Who is doing I'm going to blank on the name of the.
That's okay. There's a lot of people who wrote a lot of books.
There are a lot.
It's okay to not remember some of them. This is for everybody. You know, listen, I think when it comes to books, people can be very intimidated. And it's like, there's a lot of good books about a lot of different things, and that you should be happy to just indulge.
Well, if you go on our website,
mm.
you'll be able to look at it, and on the Knitting Room's website.
Wonderful.
You'll be able to see it. Anyway, so we are doing...
BriarsandBramblesBooks.com.
Thank you very much. We're going to be doing a lot more collaborative events. So they reached out to us to say, hey, we're doing an event. Can you provide the books? It was like, yes, absolutely.
Awesome.
Which is great. So,
is it a book on knitting?
Women Who Weave.
Oh.
Something like that. Are you going to check the awesome. Actual title?
Yeah.
Please.
Sure. Women Who Weave. Or just go to the Knitting Room's... Go to the Knitting Room's new Tannersville store and have a look for yourself. That's okay, great.
We're still talking.
That's perfect. That's perfect. They can go to the Knitting Room and find out for themselves. That's great.
It's called In Her Own Words.
Hmm.
Anyway. It's a great book.
Perfect. Perfect. So more collaborative events.
Yeah, and book signings and that kind of. And we do stuff with the community center.
Yes. Yeah.
And author events and author talks.
Yeah. Let's walk that path a little bit for a minute. So you're a founding member of the community center.
Indeed.
We had Sive Aborn on, the executive director of the community center. That was another need that you noticed. How did that whole concept come together?
That was an outgrowth of the fact that I had a community puzzle table at the store when I first opened.
Mm.
And again, people would just come in and start just doing a puzzle there. And then COVID happened, and that kind of crushed me when I had to put the community puzzle table away. And then I realized that post-COVID, I really didn't have the real estate to continue to have the puzzle table anymore because I actually needed the floor space for sales.
Yeah.
But in the same time, somebody approached me and said, but you seem to be community-minded, and one thing led to another, and I found out about the space that was available that then has become the community center. And there is just such a need and a craving for community in this town that people want.
And to be clear, prior to that, there was no community center in Wyndham.
No.
There was none of those resources available.
That is true.
Yeah. Like that is full, true. Full gap.
I think that if there's one thing, and I've learned so much in terms of having the bookstore, and I am so grateful and honored to be part of the community up here. And I truly pinch myself every day that people have accepted me into the community up here. So I can give back like to the community, because you guys have sort of accepted me into the community.
Into the fold, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And the stories that everybody shares. I learned so much from everybody up here. But if there's one thing I've really learned, it's that people are craving community.
Yeah, a connection.
Connection. And that's exactly what it is. And they want a place to go. And people up here are so talented. And they have so much that they have to offer and that they want to learn. And there is this innate curiosity. You and I have talked about this. Like, how many, like, we talk about it all this time.
Yeah.
There is something about it. I don't know if it was the lack of access to internet up here. Maybe that's actually a good thing that it took so long for a cable to come up here. I don't know. Or the access to outdoors. I don't know.
Yeah.
But there's just this innate curiosity or this self-reliance that people seem to have up here. And the this, like, well, what if we did this?
Yeah.
That is just infectious. And so to be able to put that in a community center and say, but I want to learn how to do, or but I want to be able to teach people and I want to share a skill that I have with others is just been amazing. And yeah, something like that hasn't existed up here until the community center or until the bookstore.
Yeah.
And
the community center just celebrated 5 years.
Yeah.
Which is huge. What a huge, yeah, amazing. And the programming just continues to grow, continues to expand. You know, more and more people coming forward. And you know, COVID changed. COVID, I guess, exposed how important that connection was.
I think that's exactly right. I think, and you're right that it's the connection. And I think people up here also need and crave things to do during the day. They need a place to go, and the bookstore has that. The community center offers it. That provides cultural stimulation and intellectual stimulation, and that is not necessarily food or alcohol based.
Yeah.
And that is not going to cost money. Or it's not a prerequisite that you spend money.
Right.
You don't have to.
Yeah.
And that you can go by yourself, or you can go with a group of friends, or you can go by yourself and then end up meeting people. And then you go by yourself, you meet people, you then become friends with people. And I think that's something that both the community center and the bookstore have in common.
Yeah. And I think that's the programming that we've talked about and like the potential to expand the programming. You know, every time I talk to other talented individuals and share with them, you know, what the community center is working on, other programs that they're looking at, the enthusiasm that comes out of it is pretty infectious. For sure. And I think, you know, going through COVID, so having started in COVID, so it started in 2020, which was, it actually took a little while for it to be established and to actually begin doing programming because of the restrictions and everything. But every year, the growth is amazing. And from a grassroots perspective, I mean, it's so many local names, so many local faces, and tuning people in, you know, to what we got going on. One of the cool, a very, very cool relationship that's in progress right now is with the VFW.
Well, that's exactly right. And I think, so this is what's so exciting for me to watch is, and I see it again at the bookstore too, right? Which is you get to see these cross segments of Wyndham come together that you wouldn't ordinarily think would make sense. And yet, just because you see conversations start to happen, because so many people, I think, have preconceived notions of each other. And I watch it. happen at the bookstore all the time.
Yeah.
And when genuine conversations start to happen, and you're like, wait a second, hey, hang on. I thought that person, wait, that person, no offense, but you're like, wait, that person actually reads?
Right.
You're like, not like, wait, hang on. That person's actually reading a book that I think is actually good, or you start having a book. Wait, that person actually read that same book that I did, and then you start having this conversation. And then you find out that person has something in common that I do. Wait, how can that be? I thought that person, now I have to totally rechange how I classified that person. And then you end up becoming kind of friends with that person, or just it, and it happens, and it doesn't matter. And I'm watching it happen across ages as well. And it's so much fun. And by the way, I'm experiencing it myself.
Mm.
I am like, oh, I need to change what I thought of that person. And that's been so much fun to watch. So it's the same thing at the community center.
Yeah.
So when we see these cross collaborations happening too, the natural collaboration between VFW and the community center.
Yeah.
You're like,
hand in hand. I mean, beautiful. Yeah, absolutely.
But it took time, and it's so organic.
Yes.
Now.
Yes. Yes. So for anybody who doesn't know the connection, the VFW hosts bingo.
Yay, bingo!
2 Thursdays a month. I think it's first and third. And the community center runs the kitchen. So the proceeds from the kitchen, and if you've gone and you don't know this, the proceeds from the kitchen go to the community center. And then the bingo is run by the VFW.
So much fun. And it is.
I want to go back to that point that you made is having interactions outside of age groups and kind of breaking that down. I think the community center became a place for that with how many senior programs they have, and then they have kids programs and teenager programs. And so there was a lot of interaction that way. But the connection with the VFW and the bingo nights breaks it down completely, because every age bracket comes there. I mean, you see everybody. And they're all, and so they're, if you haven't been, they're just long tables, and you just find a spot where you can sit. So you might sit next to different people every time you go.
I lock the bookstore at 6 o'clock on Thursdays, and I run over to bingo. Yeah. I love it. I never thought I would love bingo, and I just love bingo.
Yes.
Get my dauber, go over.
That's right.
Love it. That's right.
Yeah. And it's great to see. It's, right, just different people from the community being, I think the connection between with the VFW now took a long time to get to that point. And now it's every single Thursday that they're having the event, it's breaking down the barriers even more. And even more people are going, oh, this is a community center. What does a community center do? And they're seeing, oh, there's actually programs here. There's kids programs here. There's adult programs. And that's one thing that we have talked about for probably the last year plus is bringing in more adult programs, which the community center has been doing. And, you know, giving people opportunities to further their knowledge base, that curiosity that you were talking about, just like feeding it.
But I want to sort of dovetail on something that you're saying, which is, when I opened the bookstore, one of the things I felt really strongly about was I decided, and again, when I was going to be open 7 days a week, very important to me that I was going to be the local bookstore. And so I decided, okay, VFW plays a role. I wasn't so familiar with what the VFW did necessarily, but I decided that I was going to donate a portion of the proceeds. Every Veterans Day was going to go to the VFW. So I did that. And the first year I was open, barely. You know, and I was like, okay, well, I'll just match that by myself. But fine. Not saying that in a self-congratulatory kind of way. It was very important to me as a small business owner to make those connections with local non-for-profits in town.
Mm-hmm.
So it started to establish real credentials with the VFW and to say we need to do what we can to honor like our veterans in town. So on Veterans Day, I pull all my local, you know, history, my local military
mm-hmm.
down and I feature it.
Front and center.
And we do that.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's a way to pay tribute to our local veterans that play such a significant role in Wyndham particularly. And it took a while. And then the people at VFW, who I've become very friendly with, you know, Mark.
Yeah.
Then that establishes another friendship, right? So then, because people were a little skeptical of, what is this bookstore doing coming into town? But then you have the VFW going, and this is 7 years ago. This is way before Bingo. This is way before the community center. But this is suddenly people at the VFW going, you know, you should go over to the bookstore because she's going to contribute. 10% of the proceeds are going to go to the VFW. So it's breaking down these barriers of, and I wish other small businesses would do what they can. And I get it. Like you do, you're a small business owner. You know, you get asked all the time to donate to all of these different things. But I think that there are different ways that other businesses can support other non-for-profits.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be financial, but there are other ways that you can give shout outs.
Yes.
And, you know, I think this is what the podcast does. I think this is what you guys do. As you're like, this is what you everything. Do, right?
Yeah.
Like,
I think that's the only thing that we do. The only thing that we can give you is a shout out.
But that's huge, yeah. Right? To give somebody a platform to be able to come in and say what you do.
Yeah.
Is or to acknowledge, because at the end of the day, it's about being seen.
Yes.
And so to have to say like, hey, veterans in a very small town, we see you.
Yeah.
Thank you for your service. So once
and
a
not,
year.
And not, yeah, and not just one time.
No, repeatedly.
Repeatedly. And you know, feeding that relationship. And
not because you're expecting anything out of it.
Absolutely
that's the
not.
Whole thing. It's no like, hey, I'll grease your palm, you grease mine.
Yeah.
It's a way to really say, you know what? Thank you.
Yeah.
And I just want to acknowledge that you're here and thank you. And I do think that that's one thing that I've really come to. I mean, I've always kind of appreciated it, but it's one thing that I've come to appreciate even more is we have the opportunity in this community to, because you and I have talked about it, it's the connections, and that's what matters so much.
I think a perfect example of that is, shout out John LaCurse, who was actually the one who spearheaded bringing back Bingo at the VFW and has been putting in a lot of time and effort over there. But I want to give you your flowers and your recognition because I think your prioritizing those relationships and prioritizing those efforts has been an example for some of us as we kind of sought a direction with what we wanted to do. I would say the podcast, I would say John and I have had conversations about it where, you know, taking on something that could easily be seen as, against the going against the wind, you know, with the bookstore, with the community center, you know, there are other things to the community center that kind of gave it a harder start as well. But, you know, and just being like that, I don't care. We're going to do it. And we're going to do it not for the accolades, not for, recognition, so, hey, do me a favor. It's none of that. And I will say that John and I have had that conversation where, we want to, you know, give you your flowers that you have, you know, you have served as an example for us to say, hey, you know, this is how you can frame it. This is how you can do it. You can prioritize it. It can be a part of your daily conversation. It can be something that, You know, the amount of legwork that he went through to bring Bingo back was massive. I mean, but it's because of other people. I'll rub us on the back a little bit, but it's because we were also doing something. And when you look around and other people are putting effort in and just trying, it's not, you know, it's nothing's perfect. Nothing's, you know, going to work out perfectly, but it's like, we're trying and we're doing it for the sake of connection and community. Top priority.
I think that's exactly right. I mean, it is. It's people up here. And I think that's what it is. And by the way, thank you for my flowers. They're beautiful. I appreciate it. No, it is. And I really appreciate it. And I think that's right. And I joke. I do. I joke that I opened the store for selfish reasons. I mean, at the end of the day.
Yeah.
I wanted a book to read.
Yeah.
I did. Pure and simple.
And look, you got to spend more time in Wyndham.
Yeah. I wanted a book to read. Right. But all kidding aside is I did the business plan. I looked at it. I did think. And I thought it was a okay idea. I did give myself a finite period of time. I did give myself a certain budget and thought like, okay, either people are going to want it or they're not. So I was very realistic about it. I am thrilled that people did want it and embrace it. I don't take that for granted remotely. The people who come into the store who I learn from you. I mean, I really do. I learn every day from other people. So I think it's reciprocal. But I think you're exactly right, which is people really do crave connection. Somebody once asked whether or not I thought what I was doing was courageous. I don't think so. Mm. It just felt like it was a very natural thing to do. You guys with your podcast, you're like, no.
Yeah. It's work.
It's a ton of work. You know, but it looks like it's two guys.
It's 7 o'clock on a Thursday after we all worked all day. What are you talking about?
But you enjoy it, but it's fun, but it's a lot of work. Yep. And yet.
And we know what the goal is.
Yes. Yep. And you're clear about the goal, but it's also so authentic to do it. But it's serving a purpose, which is it's conversation, it's connection, people listen. People are like, hey, I'm not alone.
Yeah.
And I think at the end of the day, that's what people really need to know is be like, oh, I might have an idea. Maybe I should do something with it. Maybe I should do something with it.
Yep.
Maybe I should run it by somebody.
Yep. Yep. And maybe that, and it's like you don't know who you, when you take something head on like that, you don't know who you're going to inspire. You don't know what the end result is going to be, you know, as you put positive energy and positive work out. Ooh. you don't know. Yeah. So you just, it's like, it's a shot in the dark and.
Okay. So there's a book out there. It's called What to Do with an Idea. Maybe that we should do that as one of the Wyndham Story Walk books.
Ooh. Here we go.
Here we go.
What to Do with an Idea. Turn it into a podcast.
I think so. Or a bookstore. Or a community center.
That's right. Beautiful. Well, if you take anything away from it, you know, at least you know that other people buy books and just put them on a shelf. So I won't say 50-50. I'm better than that, but.
You're way better than that.
I'm better than that.
You read most of the books.
Yeah. Yeah. But they do look good, you know. They do look good on the shelf, too. Right, Evan? Anything to chime in? Evan buys books and doesn't read them. That's what
classic move by me, man.
Yeah,
my bookshelf is full. Have I read any of them? Probably not.
It's full of knowledge, just waiting. It's waiting to be harvested.
Yeah, man.
Jen, thank you for finally making it down.
Thank you for having me.
We've tried it several times and finally got to it. So appreciate your time. Appreciate the work that you're doing. And we'll all.
Feeling is mutual.
Yeah, we'll all carry on. So, Evan, any final words?
I actually do this time. Yeah. And I think the book that you were thinking of is In Her Own Hands, Women Weaving Their Stories.
Yes, thank you very much.
Okay, you have a synopsis for us?
Nope, I don't. But the event for the reading is on August 25th this year in 2025.
August 25th.
In Tannersville.
At the Knitting Room in Tannersville.
Yeah, so go check that out.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming in, Jen. Really appreciate it.
Thanks.
Thanks, great. Jen. Cheers.
Thanks. Bye.
This is the Hear Hear podcast from the Crispin's Wyndham House Studios, hosted by Jesse Novak, produced by Evan Gutcha. Thank you for listening.